Well, great job again to everybody for really taking the time to study. I think everybody who took the test and really did well on it, which is everybody pretty much who took it, guys, that is incredible. You know what I mean? Like, who knows baptism of the Holy Spirit and could explain it from a biblical standpoint? I mean, that's powerful. And now it's under your belt, and you can, if somebody's saying, well, what about baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can say, well, let's sit down and I can teach you about it. Is that cool?
Yeah.
And the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it, which is also pretty awesome. Now we're going to be doing the second part kind of these whole baptism of the Holy Spirit thing, and we're going to talk about miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And this one's pretty crazy when we get into it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Come on, bro.
All right, here we go. Now I'm going to move in a fast but a very specific way here, so that we're not stuck here too long. It is almost a quarter till 9 right now.
What's the name?
This is the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. It says, to one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. So here we got a list of all the different miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's a partial list because there's even more than this. But this is pretty intense, guys, when you read it.
It is.
You got the miraculous gift of wisdom, which is somebody who's just like incredibly smart on a spiritual level. Then you got the miraculous gift of knowledge, where it's kind of similar, but they know a lot. Then you got the miraculous gift of faith, where it's just they're amazing on that faith thing. Now, then after that, you're starting to get into some even more kind of harder ones to understand. Gifts of miracles. That's intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is miraculous powers. So you think, like, now we're getting into some, like, if you've seen the show Heroes, someone could, that kind of stuff. Like, imagine one of the brothers can levitate in the room. You'd be like, man, this is crazy.
Come on, shot.
Then you got the next one, gifts of prophecy, which is being able to even tell the future and also speak the very words of God.
Wow.
As you're speaking. That'd be intense if a brother had the gift of prophecy right now. Then you got distinguishing between spirits, which is somebody able to identify what kind of spirit you actually have. Like, oh, you got this one, you got this one, you got this one. Kind of like the Oracle, you know what I mean, in The Matrix.
Yeah.
Then you got the gifts of tongues. That's speaking in other languages.
Right.
And then you got the gift of interpretation, which is being able to understand what the person is saying in another language.
Wow.
Is that awesome?
Yeah.
So imagine walking into church where all the disciples had different gifts. Can you imagine that? That was our first century church. It was for a reason, but in the first century, they had all these different gifts going on. Yeah. Isn't that intense? Let's go to Mark 16. We'll get some more.
Hello, bro.
This is awesome, bro.
Come on, bro.
This is good.
Okay. And we'll pick it up in verse 16. It says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved.
Amen.
So, amen. People say, well, you got to be baptized to be saved. There you go. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They'll drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They'll place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. So here you got some more. You got drinking poison and not dying. Wouldn't that be intense?
Yeah.
You say, like, hey, man, this brother right here, guess what he can do? Get that bottle of Drano. Check this out. Have a Drano chugging contest with the brother of
the bro.
Poison. And then you have another one. Getting bitten by snakes and not dying. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
That could be another miraculous gift. So here you see a lot of these different gifts that exist right there. Now we're going to look at how do you acquire these gifts, and it comes from the laying on of hands. But there's three types of laying on of hands.
Come on, bro.
So let's look at the first one, Acts chapter 9.
Come on, bro.
Or Acts chapter 13, I'm sorry.
Okay, bro.
So here's the very first instance in verse 3. Isn't this cool, though?
Yeah.
See this? Verse 3. So, after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So here's the first type of placing hands on someone else. It's a type of blessing before you send them out to do the Lord's work.
Yeah.
So as a mission team, when we were sent here, the shepherds in Los Angeles placed their hands on the mission team in a sense. It was mainly just like whoever's a part of it. And we all pray together on stage before being sent to San Francisco.
Amen.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
So we still practice that even today. It's a blessing being placed on. Okay. Next one is healing, Acts 9.
Come on, bro.
And this is where Ananias and Paul, the story we read a few studies ago, we'll come back and check out right here. Verse 17 says, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength.
Amen.
So here in the very beginning, he places his hands on Saul, tells Saul these things. And what happens? Saul's blindness is cured. He's healed.
Yep.
So there's another part of placing hands. Laying hands on someone in the Bible was also not just a blessing, but there's another occurrence where there is a healing going on when you place your hands on somebody. Look at another one to back it up in chapter 28. Kind of the same thing. But we'll see the Apostle Paul do it. Verse 8. It says, his father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. So you see that? Same thing. The placing on the hands. So here's the second one.
Yeah.
He's healed after placing their hands on them. Now we're going to look at the third one, and this is important. We're going to look at where the apostles were able to pass on the gifts by placing their hands on people. So let's go to Acts chapter 8.
Cool, bro. That's awesome.
Good stuff, bro. Break it down, bro.
Oh, bro.
Verse 18. It says, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. Okay, we'll stop right there. So, Simon, when he sees the apostles come to town, and we'll read this a little bit later, he sees the apostles lay their hands on people, and they're given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when he sees that the gifts were given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he gets fired up, and he offers them money, and we'll read about that whole thing.
Not a good idea.
But you do see one thing about the laying of hands, that number one is used for blessing, number two is used for healing, but here, number three, with the apostles, it was used for passing on the gifts.
Wow.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay, now there's a reason. This wasn't just for fun because they like showing off as Christians. But next thing to note is that these people that received those gifts from the apostles could not pass them on as well. It was only a right reserved for the apostles themselves when you read through the Bible. Is that clear?
Yeah.
So as you read, you'll see that it's not specifically written down, you know what I mean? Like, by the way, the apostles are the only ones that can pass on the gifts. But when you look at what happens and you see how it pans out, that's the only place that you see it happening is when the apostles lay their hands. And here you see it. The gift was laid off, was passed on by the laying of the apostles' hands.
Mm-hmm.
Cool?
Yep.
Okay. Let's look at the first time it happens, Acts chapter 6. We'll pick it up in verse 1, go 1 through 8. It says, in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, or whatever you want to say right there, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. All right, so here's the first time we see the apostles laying their hands on someone right here. Yeah. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Look later on, and as we keep going, it says, verse 8, well, let's keep going, 7 and 8. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Stephen was not doing this before. But after the apostles laid their hands on him, Stephen is out there doing miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So now you know Stephen had the gift of miraculous powers. Is that cool?
Yeah.
And of course, Stephen was the first martyr as well. So you know he's a spiritual guy, but man, imagine seeing him doing miraculous powers and wonders and things like that. Okay. Now, we'll look at the next guy in Acts chapter 8. Philip, one of the 7 who had been given a gift through the laying out of hands by the apostles. And now we're going to jump back into that story we just read with Simon the Sorcerer. Acts 8, 1. It says, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. So Stephen was just killed and persecuted. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention, exclaimed, this man is the divine power, known as the great power. They followed him because he had made them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and wonders he saw.
Come on, bro.
When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to him. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They'd simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
Okay, come on.
When Simon saw that the Spirit was giving at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered him money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You've no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he'll forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you're full of bitterness and captive to sin. Man, Peter really knew how to deal with some sin right there in a public setting.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
A little side note on how to deal with some sin.
Yeah.
It's okay to deal with it. Even, hey, maybe that was a little harsh. Peter did it in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Amen. So don't get your feelings hurt when somebody calls you out in front of a group.
Okay.
Just say, hey, maybe he's being like an apostle right here.
Hey, come on.
All right, verse 24. Then Simon answered, Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you said may happen to me. When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Okay, here we go. Now we got a really cool spot. It's the passing on of the gifts. And we see this is happening. There's been this intense persecution. Stephen was just stoned to death, and everybody was fired up who wasn't a Christian to see a Christian killed in Jerusalem. Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
So what happens? All the Christians scatter except the apostles. They stay in Jerusalem. But all the other Christians are out. Philip, one of those guys, goes down to Samaria. And what does he start doing? He starts preaching. Now, he was one of the seven who had received the gifts. He goes to Samaria, and he starts performing these gifts. But was it just because he was bored and wanted to show off how awesome he was because he was a Christian?
No.
No, it was for a very specific reason, so that the people would believe. Do you see that?
Yeah.
It says, verse 12, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So this was after Philip was doing those miraculous gifts and signs that he had received. Check out verse 6. It says, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. So are you starting to see, hopefully you're seeing, what is the purpose of Philip's miraculous gifts? So that people will listen to the message. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in this sense, what is the greater priority, the miraculous gifts or the message of the Word of God?
The messages.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's awesome that they could do all these miraculous powers, but they were only a means to an end. The end was preaching the word of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen?
Little bro, yeah.
We'll come back around with that. Verse 13, Simon the sorcerer gets baptized. And here, of course, why are they baptizing everybody? Well, because Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So the purpose of the miraculous gifts were to get people right with God.
Yeah.
To show them, hey, listen, what I'm saying is true. Watch this. See, I'm totally from God here. You need to listen to what I'm saying. Is that intense?
Yeah.
That was their accreditation because there was no New Testament. They couldn't say, let's read Matthew. Let's read the book of John. They didn't have any of that. Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
Imagine saying, hey, let's evangelize the world. But guess what, guys? We don't have the New Testament to do it.
Aw, man.
You'd say, like, this is going to be intense. We're going to change the whole world. We're going to get people to give up their entire lives for God, even die for God. And we're not even going to do it with the New Testament.
Right.
Now, I think they kind of like to have the New Testament, but they didn't have it yet. Because it took time to get that all canonized.
Right.
So here, God is, of course, using Philip and his miraculous powers to get people to believe in the word and be baptized. And so then what happens? Well, the apostles hear that all these people are getting baptized, but they knew, hey, if we're going to spread the word, what do we got to do out there in Samaria? We got to go there. We got to lay our hands on these new baby Christians and get them some gifts. So they can do what?
Awesome.
So they can go spread the word themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
So they get the gift, and now they're going to go and spread the word and say, hey, look, I'm telling the truth too, because watch, God's with me. I just healed this person.
Yeah.
Or I can speak in any language you want. Come on up.
Wow.
And so the apostles go to spread the gifts for the message of the gospel. Now, did Simon the sorcerer want the gifts to spread the message?
Nope.
No.
No. Isn't that intense? That Simon wanted the gifts to show off and to have this cool ability, and he's even willing to give all his money for it. And what do the apostles say about Simon's heart? Wicked, bitter, and held captive.
Yay. Wow.
Isn't that intense?
Wow.
That there is only one reason to have those gifts. And it's to spread the word of God.
Come on, bro. Mm-hmm.
That is the purpose. Only to preach the word.
Amen.
So hopefully you're being encouraged by this, because you're in a little bit of an advanced state compared to those first century disciples, because you have the entire New Testament at your fingertips. Okay, so here we do see what's going on. And you notice, did Simon ask Philip for the gifts?
Nope.
No. Why? Because Simon was not an apostle. I mean, Philip was not an apostle. So Philip didn't have the ability to pass on the gifts. That's why Philip wasn't offered money by Simon. The apostles were offered money by Simon when they finally came to town, because they could do it.
Yeah.
Does that clarify what's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the apostles are laying their hands, giving gifts. Simon sees it. He says, I want the ability to give people gifts too. Here's some money. Hook me up. And they say, dude, you are out there spiritually. They even say, you have no part of this ministry.
Wow.
It's intense. Okay. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 19.
Come on, bro.
Keep it coming, bro.
This is really cool, man.
Reach hardcore, bro.
Kick him in the face, bro.
Kick him in the face, bro.
Preach the word, bro.
I hope you guys aren't convicted by this.
No, no, bro.
Wait,
really bad.
This is a good one, man.
Oh my gosh. Wait, there's no miraculous. Like a new teaching. Okay. Verse 1. While Paulus was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no. We've not even heard there's a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive?
Oh, man.
John's baptism, they replied.
Well,
Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That's in Jesus.
On
hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
There's some humble-hearted people right there.
Wow.
When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There are about 12 men in all. Okay, so here you got the same thing. Was Paul an apostle?
Yeah.
Yes. Did Paul place his hands on these guys?
Yeah.
Yes. And did they get a gift from the apostle?
Yeah.
Yes, they did. So here you see the same thing happening again. An apostle placing his hands on a group of believers who have just been saved, been baptized, and now they receive the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so now they can do all these miraculous powers and cool things like that. For what? To spread the word of God. Amen? Okay. So, a couple general observations right here. The apostles were able to pass on the gifts because of that fact. They were apostles.
Yeah.
Jesus gave them this gift far before Acts 2 and Luke 9, verse 1. Look there real quick. Luke 9, 1, it says, when Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So, guess what? The apostles had these powers long before Acts 2 came around.
Come on, brother.
And so this ability to pass and perform the gifts was not given at Pentecost. It had already existed. It was already there.
Okay.
Secondly, the next observation is when we read the context of the scriptures that cause people to think, oh, we're supposed to have these today. 1 Corinthians 12, which we just read, which talks about all the gifts. And 1 Corinthians 14, which talks about what to do. Now, those are some interesting chapters. And Paul here is not talking about how to get the gifts. Okay?
Yeah.
He's talking about what to do when you have them. So, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, listen. Let's look at it real quick. This is outside the study, but just so you guys can see this, it's kind of ironic.
Come on, bro.
Let's look at 14 real quick, and then we'll jump back into the study here. It says in verse 27, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God.
Yeah.
Is that intense?
Yeah.
So even Paul says, listen, we're not going to have everybody yelling. We're going to have two or three people line up. Wow. We're going to get an interpreter up here, too. They're going to come up, and they're going to preach the word, and that's it.
I like that.
And we're going to keep this in order.
Wow.
Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
Very different from some of the churches that practice speaking in tongues today,
yep.
where everybody just starts yelling and going crazy. That's totally against the Bible. Not even in context with what it's supposed to be used for.
Right.
If you read all of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul's like, listen, this is for non-believers to believe in God.
Yep.
When non-believers come into the church and they hear you guys doing this, they think you're out of your minds.
Yeah.
Says it'd be better for you just to prophesy and read the Bible, which is prophesy in that term, in that time and era, than to just do this whole speaking in tongues thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe there are some disciples who wanted to jump on the bandwagon and kind of out of their good-hearted nature started doing the whole thing that you might see. You never know. But the point is that it's not even biblical for the whole church to be speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 28.
Come on, bro.
It says, and in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Yes.
So here it's clear what the teaching is. Does everybody speak in tongues?
No.
No. That's not what the church in the first century looked like.
Talk about it.
That was a few people, but then you also had people who could heal. And you also had people who could interpret. And you also had people who could prophesy. And you also had the apostles. And so everybody had a different role in building the strength of the church so that it could reach out to a lost world. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, it's no different today, except we have the Bible in place of all that stuff.
Amen.
But we still have different gifts as far as administration, as far as loving people. Some people are a little more gifted at loving than others. You know what I mean? So you say, hey, teach me your gift here in loving. Amen? Some people are a little more disciplined financially. And so you want to learn from them. Some people are great at being organized and clean. And you want to learn from them. Some people can't speak in other languages, but that's because they're from another country.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 8, it says, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, well, we won't go over there, but anyway, we'll stop right there. Okay, so here we see a few things. Number one, it's talking about love is the greatest gift of all, guys.
Yes.
You know, and there's even songs written about it. But here it says, tongues will be stilled, prophecies will cease, knowledge will pass away, but perfection will come. That's when the imperfect disappears. So you see what it's saying. It's saying tongues and these different gifts are imperfect, and there's something perfect on its way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So here those gifts are not the fulfillment, and there's a few things we can take from this. But one of them is that when the Bible was finally canonized, the perfection had come, the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so here, and in studying in this, we see something interesting. That if you were to take the last person who maybe the last apostle alive had laid their hands on, that person would be dying off just as the Bible was finally canonized and put into place. Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now, we don't have any of this documented, but you can kind of make an educated guess right here. But just as those gifts are dying off, the Bible has been canonized, and now perfection has come. God's Word has come.
Amen.
And so now God's Word takes the place of all those miraculous gifts.
Yeah.
Right? Because even with miracles, it doesn't cause people to believe. Right? When Jesus did the miracles, did everybody believe Jesus?
No.
But what causes faith? What brings faith? Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the word.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so faith is not coming from miraculous gifts. So you say, man, if only God would hook us up with some miraculous powers today, we could kill this thing. You know what I mean? But you got to realize, actually, no, you'd be probably locked up and studied in some science laboratory.
Yeah. I know.
You could never reach the nations.
Come on,
you know what I mean? So God has, in his infinite wisdom, given us the Bible to, and bringing faith through the Bible to people's hearts. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14.
Come on, bro.
Verse 20 says, brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I'll speak to this people. But even then, they'll not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers and not for unbelievers. Okay. So here we see, what is the purpose, basically, of speaking in tongues? Well, it's to get non-believers to believe in God.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So technically, if you had the gift of speaking tongues, where should you be speaking tongues at?
Non-believers.
To non-believers. So go to the mall and do it.
Okay.
So you can make some disciples.
Yeah.
How effective would that be? You know what I mean? You're like, this guy's crazy. See, because if you're able to win non-believers through the gift of tongues, that means you can speak their language.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so here we're starting to understand that this was something to convert non-Christians, not for believers itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's one more thing right there. Next thing is that it was built, basically, prophecy was to edify the Christians and strengthen their faith, right? Just like the Bible does for Christians today. And so now we see the Bible takes both of these roles. The Bible is used, like John says, to get people to believe in Jesus, right?
Yep.
You know, end of John where it says, this book was written so that you may believe in Jesus and through him have life in his name. Wow. So isn't that awesome? The Bible itself contains the miraculous power to win people over to God.
Amen.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
So here, the Bible becomes the focus and not ourselves. And also to edify the Christians, the Bible is the focus and not ourselves.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yep.
To strengthen and encourage the other disciples.
That's awesome.
So the church today doesn't need the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit because the Bible has taken that place and also protects us so we don't have to go to a science laboratory.
Yes.
Come on, Elliot.
Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2.
Come on, bro.
You guys all watched E.T., you know?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you have miraculous powers.
That used to be Elliot.
Yeah. Well, Elliot's not E.T., Elliot's the friend of E.T. That's why Elliot's a little quirky.
Yeah. And skinny.
Yeah.
Been
flying around on that bike. Okay, verse 9. It says, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. And every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie.
Wow.
And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness.
Wow.
Now, this doesn't directly deal totally with speaking in tongues, but it does help you to see that there are other kinds of miracles out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do miracles still exist today?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. But they might not be from God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here it even says there's counterfeit miracles from Satan. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So this just shows you that you can't even rely on miracles to show you what's true or not.
Mm.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
What is what shows us the truth? The Bible. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we were to rely on miracles, that could be a dangerous thing.
Right.
Because you don't know, even here, okay, well, is that from God or is that from Satan?
Yeah,
I don't know.
True.
But we got the Bible that teaches us the truth. And here's how you know when somebody is a disciple. Do they know the word and they live by it?
Mm-hmm.
Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that easy. It's not, well, they did a miracle. That doesn't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Big whoop. is what you might say in the 80s or 90s. You know what I mean?
What's the definition of a miracle?
A miracle is something unexplainable that happens.
Okay.
So here, do you guys understand? Isn't that awesome, though?
Yeah.
That the Bible is now the gauge for discipleship?
Yeah.
Because there are people who say, but I saw these miracles. You can't say whether they're from God or not. Maybe God allowed them to bring you to this Bible study right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can't say, well, is it from God or not? Amen. Don't worry about it. You're here. You got the Bible. What's the focus? Focus on the Word.
Yeah.
Right. Don't focus on, was that from God or not? Mm-hmm. What about all the things I saw? Okay. Amen. God used those things to bring you right here.
Yeah.
The real question is, are you going to repent and obey the Bible?
Yeah.
That's really the real question.
That's the truth.
So, really, it's about obeying the truth and being saved. So, speaking in tongues is common, but not even in Christianity alone. It's also common in the Muslim faith and Catholicism and Buddhism. They do ecstatic utterances, which is really, you know, other fashions of what it's called. So, and it's also used for dead religions when people are just falling asleep in the back row and they need to yell out something so that they can be, you know, woken up. So maybe maybe Brian or Freddie, if you guys want to yell something real quick and wake up right back there. Amen. Let's check out Ephesians chapter 4. This might encourage you. Ephesians 5.
Keep it coming, bro.
And we're going to read 18 through 20. This one's really cool. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the spirits.
Yeah.
So don't be filled with the spirits.
Amen.
Right?
The
spirit. Speak to one another.
Amen.
With psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs.
Amen. Come on, Alexis.
Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is cool. It says, sing. It says, be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, what do? You speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Here it says, when you're filled with the Spirit, you can speak through singing to each other.
Aww.
And that's why singing is so awesome, because that's using the Spirit to speak to each other.
Aww.
Amen?
Yes.
Bro, that's
it crazy. Doesn't even mention speaking in tongues right here when you're filled with the Spirit.
Yep.
Right. Is that cool?
Yep. Bro.
So you can be filled with the Spirit without even speaking in tongues. That's an important thing to notice. And then finally, John 3, we'll look at that one about Jesus.
All right.
So Jesus.
It says, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit.
Damn.
The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him.
Woo.
So, in the end, Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Without limit, he had the Spirit, and yet, did Jesus ever speak in tongues?
Nope.
No, you don't even see it. Yet he had the full measure of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, here you see the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you sum it all up. They were used as a way to reach out to the nations, because there was no New Testament to build the people's faith in Jesus. So they had to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, given to them by the laying on of the apostles' hands, to evangelize the world. And basically, now today, guys, perfection has come. We have the Word of God,
Amen.
Which converts men's hearts to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen,
anyway, guys, let's have a quick song, and then we shall be done. Michelle?